Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is taken from the books of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. If you are using the large print Pew Bible, please turn with me to page 1726, 1726. Romans 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is good indeed to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'd like to welcome Bernard and his wife, who is here after some time away from us. Welcome. We'll see more of him. I welcome Joshua also in our midst, and a friend with him. Let's prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord. Father, open your words to us by your Spirit. Speak to us. And Lord, I place myself behind the cross. Lord, that all that I say, that the words be yours. Anything that is not yours, of you, Lord, let it fall away. But let your Spirit speak, that the word of truth will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today my topic is just leading on from our church camp, because I know that not all of us attended, although there were quite a good number. I think from the English congregation, about 80 plus. But anyway, for those who missed the camp, the video for all these messages is been screened on video. Last Sunday was a talk number one. This Sunday will be talk number two of Pastor Hanson Lim's message, Archippus Awakening. This Archippus Awakening, I'll first summarize quickly what the message that Pastor Hanson Lim brings to us. And then after that, we'll look at how we as a church can respond to the message, and then how we individually can respond to the message. So that's how I will lead my sermon this morning. First, the speaker, Pastor Hanson Lim, in sharing this message, Archippus Awakening, tells us that he has only one message, two verses, three words, and four traits. First, what is this one message that he has? He says everywhere he goes, there's this one message. And indeed, it is a timely message for us as a church, and also for the church in Singapore. The one message is this. It's taken from Colossians 4 and verse 17. It says that, tell Archippus, and that's where his sermon title, his message title comes from. Archippus, Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Colossians 4:17. So in summary, he says his message is this, that he is bringing to the church is this. Archippus, wake up. Make sure you know what God has asked you to do and make sure you do it. So the message is that God has a specific assignment or task for each and every believer. And we are to make sure that we carry out the task that the Lord has assigned us. Two verses. Next slide. And the two verses that Pastor Hansen shared with us is that it's taken from Colossians 4:17, which is the verse that I just read. And it talks about assignment, that every one of us has an assignment in Christ that the Lord gives to us, that we receive from the Lord. And then another verse which also has mentioned the word Archippus and talks about Archippus is in Philemon 2. And there it says, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in our home. And Archippus is mentioned there as our fellow soldier by Paul. And there we hear the word, the appointment that God has given to Archippus. And similarly, God has given every one of us an appointment. And this appointment comes with specific tasks we are to carry out as part of the God's appointment of us. The word Archippus, at first I also do not know what's the meaning of Archippus, but Pastor Hansen shared with us it means master of horses. Archippus. The word Ako means chief, the head. Hippus is supposed to be from the Greek word hippos, which means horse. And he was sharing it. Hippopotamus means river horse, a horse in the river. And for this message reminds us that God has given every follower of Christ a specific assignment by God in relation to an individual appointment or call to fulfill. The church and the individual Christian, however, has often failed to understand this truth. And the church and each of us individually has often just emphasized on personal salvation. You know, our personal salvation. And we are so focused on our personal salvation that if we are saved, and that's all that matters. The other things, well, what's more important than to be saved? And I must admit that, you know, when I first became a Christian, that was what it was all about. You know, I remember saying, hearing a speaker, Charlie Lee, I think, yeah, in a Scripture Union, Charlie Tan, sorry. I remember him, he was quite bald-headed, but he was preaching hellfire. And I say, I don't want to go to hell. And so, if whatever it takes, I want to go to heaven. Maybe that's all we are interested in. And the church often emphasizes that. It's a truth of God, and this must be taught. And this truth is fundamental to our belief as a Christian. But by emphasizing that, we forgot that behind God's act of saving us, there is a purpose, right? God saved us so not so that we can, you know, enjoy the blessings only, but God saves us for a purpose. And therefore, God saved us in order to give us an assignment and an appointment to do. God is saving us for something. He saved us from death, he saved us from sin, he saved us from the pits. But that's not the end of it all. He also saves us to do something, to be something, to be His workmanship, to be His masterpiece. And sometimes we forget about that. We just want to be saved from the bad things in our life, the condemnation. But we missed out. And often we do not want to talk about what God saved us for. Because, you know, often it's the case that we want to have our feet in two places, two boats we want to be saved from, but yet we want to enjoy things of the world. And so that's a timely message, the two verses. And there are three words Pastor Hansen shared with us next. And the three words are awaken, align, and assign. Awaken from what? The church needs to be awakened to the truth that God not only saves us from is something beyond salvation, but He saved us for something. For something. And that is for us to discern, God, what have you saved us to be, to do? And that calls for alignment, for us to examine ourselves, the church as a whole, as well as we as individual believers. Are we aligned to what God's purpose for our life is all about? Or are we just merely comfortable to be saved from? To be saved. But there's something beyond salvation. And as we listen, as we align ourselves with the purpose of God for our lives, then God has an assignment as for us to discover the assignment that God has given to us and to live in that assignment. As Paul reminds Archippus, whatever the Lord has given you to do, make sure you complete it. Complete the task. Run the race. You know, if you think about it, if there's nothing for me to do, then why should I run the race? Because, you know, if Christianity is everything is done for me, then I don't need to run, right? You know, I just need to show up and get a prize and a reward. I just need to show up, right? But if there is a race, that means there's something for me to run. And the race for each one of us may be different. The fact of a race that we must run shows us that there is a journey, there is a particular thing that God is calling us to do. So the message, the three words, awaken, assign, and then to be aligned to God's will and purpose for our life. And this charge, the call, the Archippus charge, Pastor Hansen even shared with us that it is in a context. Next slide, please. The Archippus charge in Colossians 4:17, to complete the task, the assignment that God has given to us, is in the context of the Laodicean context. There in Colossians 4, he says that the letter of Colossians written to the church in Colossae, Paul writes that, please share this letter with the Laodicean church. And they are charged to also read the letter written to Laodicea. And Pastor Hansen was sharing there is the letter of Philemon, the letter of Corinth to the Corinthian, but there is no letter to the Laodicean, except in Revelation 3, where God writes to the seven churches. And one of the church in the letter written by the angel of the Lord, declared to the church is in Laodicea, where it says that, you know, I know your deeds about the Laodicean church. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either hot or the other. That means I wish you were either hot or cold, but you are neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. And I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And after that, the verse calls for the Laodicean to wake up, to know their poverty and to seek the Lord. And the Lord says there, the verse says, I stand at the door of your heart and is knocking at the door. If you invite me, I will come in to you. And so, this Archippus charge is in the context of the Laodicean context of a lukewarm church. So for us, the world, the church of Singapore and our church and our own self, are we lukewarm Christian? And he was telling us that lukewarmness is not about being passionate for God. It is about being effective for God. Because he gave the example of that God rather that we are either cold or hot, but not lukewarm. And the example illustration Pastor Hansen gave to us is that of an ice pack or a hot pack. When we have muscle ache, we either use a hot pack, you know, the same pack, we put it in oven or hot water, and then we put it over our muscle, it will relieve the pain, right? Release the tension. Or else, if we have injury, the muscle is swollen, we can use an ice pack. We put it in the fridge, we take it out and we put it on our injured muscle and it will have a healing effect. But the last thing that you want to do is take a pack that you left in the table that is just room temperature and you put on your injured muscle. It has absolutely no effect. It is useless. So he says, yeah, when God's word says neither hot nor cold, he is talking about Christian living as ineffective Christian. What is ineffective Christian? It has to do with the Archippus charge. That there's an assignment, there's a task that God gives to us to do, but we are not completing it. We are doing every other thing except that. And I think if you look through the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, we can see that comes up all the time. And I think, again, it's related to the fact that we are more interested in being saved from, and we forgot about the purpose behind our salvation. We are saved for something. Next slide. And then he draw for us this beautiful chart, and he used the metaphor of a soldier, because in Philemon 2, Archippus is called our fellow soldier. So for every NS man who has been through national service, they will know what is an AA and the AO. A AA is the assembly area. Just before you, the H hour, when you launch to attack your objective, a hill or a place, to take over a place, you assemble in together before you charge forward to attack. An assembly area where you prepare the army, prepare your troops for the task assigned to be done. The area of operation is your target area, the objective, the hill that you are supposed to capture your objective. And he uses the acronym AREA to define the process where we are to move from being receiving Christ to revealing Christ. In the assembly area, the gospel is preached and the believer is strengthened through the word of God to prepare for their assignment, their appointment. But it mustn't stop there. Christians and the church must not remain in the assembly area, because that's not the final end. The final end is the operation area, the area of operation. And this area of operation is where we reveal Christ. So, what is the area of operation? Individually, it can be our home. And yesterday, last 2 days, I think, myself with Sohong and a few ladies, other ladies, we attended this D6 conference, which talks about our family. You know, that, and the statistics were shown that, you know, US statistic, but I think very much it also applies to Singapore, where families are increasingly under tension and been broken up because the challenges of the things around the world, the distractions, the philosophies and thinking that is against God's word, the opposite values that's against God's word, that challenges our family. And families are beginning to break down under this pressure. And so that becomes our area of operation as parents and raising our children. Are we revealing Christ in our homes, in our workplace? That's an area of operation. Are we revealing Christ in our workplaces, among our friends, our social circles? Are we revealing Christ among our friends and our social circles? In our society, in our government, as citizens of Singapore, is the church and us individually revealing Christ as salt and light wherever Christ has placed us? So that's the area of operation. And we need to go through this process of being aligned, refined, empowered, and assigned by God. Next slide. And the passage that I've chosen this morning is taken from Romans 13, 8 to 14. And it talks about love, right? Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. So, receiving Christ, we have received God's love. And because we have received God's love, there is a debt of love. There's a debt of love. Do you remember Abraham was blessed by God? Abraham basically did not deserve to do anything. Abraham did not do anything. God just called him, said, God says, I want to bless you. And just like that. Not because Abraham was especially good or clever or deserved anything much, but God just chose him to bless him. And God says, I'm blessing you so that you can be a blessing to the nation. Right? So the purpose of God blessing Abraham is so that he can then be a blessing to the nations. Similarly for us, God has chosen us, poured out his grace, sacrificed his son for me, for you, to bless us because we deserve it, because we did something great. No, because we are desperate, because we call out to God, say, God, I cannot help myself. And I know you are the only way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And I want that. And God heard our call, and God, out of his grace, gave it to us, his love. And having received this love, God, we have a debt to pay. And this is the debt of love. And we are therefore to reveal God's love to others. We become a channel of God's blessing, a channel of God's love. We are not to take this love and keep it for ourselves. And that's why Jesus often tells the parable of the faithful steward, right? Where he says, God give us talents. And what do we do with our talents? We hide it. We use it for our own consumption. Lord, when we are meant to be stewards, to share whatever talents and gifts, whatever love and blessing God has given to us, to share that with others. And so, the call to live out the love of God. It says there, you know, love does no harm to neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. When we are able to love, to live the life of love, compassionate love, then we have fulfilled all the law's command. And then, the same passage as you read down, verses further down, from verse 11 onwards, there is a reminder, the context. You know, always, it's almost like a purpose, the charge to love, to share God's love. This is a charge to love. And it's followed immediately by a reminder, because Paul knows that often we forget. When we have a good thing, you know, we hold on to it. When we are in poverty, we say, God, help me, you know, help me. And God bless you with much. And after you get much, what do? You forget God. You say, yeah, you know, look how clever I am. You see, I'm able to accumulate so much. for myself, forgetting that, you know, it was the Lord who blessed us. And that's why the psalmist says, please do not make me so poor that I will sin against you, you know, by stealing, doing the things. And please do not make me so rich that I forget you. So often, when we are blessed by the Lord, we enjoy the blessings more than the one who blessed us. And we forget about the purpose of God's blessing for us. And so here it says in verse 11, and do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Therefore, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your flesh. So, there's a debt to pay, and we need to be awakened to this truth that we must pay this debt. And the hour, therefore, is near. And the salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. So the fact that the salvation is nearer now than we first believed, I thought we were saved when we first came to the Lord. So you mean salvation is on its way? It seems like a process. But that's the mystery of God's word of redemption. That we were saved and we are still being saved and we will be saved. So the salvation that God gives to us is something is still in a work in progress. First, our spirit is saved. We are tripartite, body, spirit and soul. So when we first confess, our spirit which was dead, numb, was made alive, and we are a new creation. God gave us His Spirit to give life to our spirit. So our spirit man comes alive. But there is still the soul. There is still the body. The soul refers to our will, our intellect, our emotion, and all this, our will, our emotion, our intellect, must be saved, must be put under submission to God. And this is a journey, and that is how we are still being saved. As we each time we obey God's call, each time we listen to God's word and we lift out God's word, our soul is being renewed. Our thoughts are being renewed. Our will are being harnessed by God from rebellion against God to delight in God. So our soul is being saved. Our spirit was saved, done, through the cross. Satan was defeated, we were set free. But our soul has been saved. Our personality, our thinking, our will, that has been renewed by God. And that is so, right? And if we fail to allow God to continue His work, then we are like, you know, half saved. I know half boiled egg is very nice to eat, but half incompletely reconstructed or renewed soul is not very nice, because there is always a tension, a struggle. Are you sure you'll be happy when you are in heaven? You know, in Hokkien it's a joke. You 你也是酒鬼啊，你去天堂啊，没有酒嘞。你也是赌鬼啊，你去天堂没有不可以赌博，你还要去天堂吗？ If our soul is not allowed, we do not allow God to complete the salvation, redemption process of our soul, you know, we might just discover that when we meet Jesus, we may not be as delighted as we think we would. So God is in the process of saving us. And God will save us. That is, when Jesus returns, what will Jesus give us? A new body, the resurrected body. That has no pain, has no sorrow, is completely new. because our flesh, are weak mortal. We will be given an immortal body. So this process of salvation is a continual action. So do not just, God, I am saved, my spirit is saved, I'm happy. There is still the soul that needs to be changed, transformed. There is still the body that awaits God giving us a new resurrected body. So the salvation is a process. And that's why he says here, clothe ourselves with Christ. We are to clothe ourselves with Christ, not to gratify the desires of our flesh. We are to put to death our fleshly desires. So it's a process. Next slide. Aligned. So the question now is, now that we know this truth, how are we aligned? Are we aligned with God? How misaligned are we? First, the misconception about salvation. That actually, God saved us for a purpose, that we must go beyond salvation. We must know Jesus as King, and not just Jesus as Savior. Jesus as Lord, Jesus as King. And that's where Jesus wants to continue to take other parts of our soul, our will, our mind, our emotion, and place that under Jesus. So if you are fighting with anger management, submit your anger to God, and God wants to change that. Change your emotion from anger to compassion. If you are your intellect is such that you are living by sight and not by faith, unless I see, I do not believe. You know, God wants to change your mind, that you will learn to be a people of faith, to live by faith and not by sight. You know, all around us, the science, our academic learning, it talks about, you know, you must be able to see evidence of everything before you believe. But in the scripture, God wants to change, renew your mind, to be like a little child, to learn to trust, to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And it's a big challenge, not easy. Especially those who are has been graced by God with high intellect. You know, sometimes our intellect becomes our idol. And we cannot surrender our intellect to God. And that's the problem. It's not a problem. That's just God's words there, right? God chose to take the foolish things of the world in order to confound the wise, right? God chose to take the weak of the world to confound the strong. So, you know, so that's the God's word for us. And do we want all of God's word, which is part of his salvation and redemption, of our mind, our intellect, our emotion, our will? So we need to ask ourselves, are we completely aligned with what God wants to do in our lives? The purposes for which God saves us. The next question is, you know, another misconception is between church and the kingdom of God. We are saved to be in the kingdom of God. God has asked us in Matthew 6 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. God saved us not just to be a church, but saved us to be in the kingdom of God, to live out the kingdom values. And that is the final purpose. And, you know, some of us think that as long as I come to church every Sunday, and I faithfully come, I faithfully tithe, and I do things, you know, for God, then I'm a good Christian, that's all that's needed, and I'm happy. I'm considered a good church member, an outstanding church camp member. But is that what it's all about? God calls us into his kingdom, not to his church. The church is only on earth. When we are in heaven, it is the kingdom of God. And what's the difference? A church is tangible, physical, a gathering of people, a building, tangible. But the kingdom of God is intangible, cannot be seen.
When Jesus says the kingdom of God is near you, what he means is that the kingdom of God is invisible. That's why Jesus told Pilate, say, my kingdom is not of this world. It means it's a spiritual kingdom. And so the kingdom exists when there is a rule of God in our hearts. When the rule of God, when Jesus is king in our hearts, in God's people everywhere, and wherever God places his people, whether it be in the office, in the homes, in government, wherever, where God places his people there, and the rule of God is in God's people's heart, that's where the kingdom exists. It is a spiritual kingdom. It's an invisible kingdom. It is the rule of God in our hearts. And when Christians only want to be saved, acknowledging Jesus as Savior and not Lord and King, then where is the rule of God? Does the rule of God exist through you in your workplace? But Pastor, you know, who am I? I'm a small fry, you know. What can I do in my office? Whatever God placed you, God has wants you, his rule through you to influence whichever place this is place you in. So the kingdom is the rule of God. So we are not talking about being a good church goer or church member. We are talking about being an effective member of the kingdom of God, where the rule of God rules in our heart. So, and then Pastor Hansen says we can respond in these three ways. Four groups of people. First, you know, why did Paul encourage Archippus to complete the task, to make sure that it continued? Maybe, and he says his message that maybe among us this morning, we may be different category of people. Maybe we are like those that can say, yes, I know my assignment. I know God's assignment, and I've been faithfully doing it. But I need encouragement. And Paul gives this encouragement to continue, not to give up, to complete the race, because that's a charge God has given to us. So maybe we are in that category. And you've been serving God, and you've been living for God, and God rules in your heart, and you're aware of assignment, and you've been faithfully doing it, you know. Continue in your faithfulness, Paul encourages. Complete it. Do not drop the ball. Because, you know, God's word says his reward is for those that overcome us. And the greatest thing we want to hear when we meet Jesus is what? Good and faithful servant, right? So good and faithful servant that has done whatever the master has assigned for us to do. So that's what we want to hear, to be a good and faithful servant. Not to be successful, not to be great, not to be well-known, or not to have healed the sick a lot. No, just to be good and faithful servant. The result doesn't count as long as you faithfully carry out whatever tasks God has given to you, leave the result to God. The result is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is faithfulness. Or we are the group that says, yes, I had been faithful. I once was faithful. But, you know, I'm quite jaded and tired now. I think the baton is for the next generation. It's for others to do. I want to retire. I want to rest. I've done whatever I can do. It's no more my business. But as long as the task that God has given to you to do is not complete, it's still half done, and you still must carry on. And we have to carry on until the day the Lord says, good and faithful servant, now you can return to me. You know, return to me. And so, Paul encourages Archippus, and you are the Archippus that had been a faithful servant, but you are very tired now. Paul's word to encourage you is carry on. Another group will be someone that says, yes, I know the assignment of God, but I did nothing about it because there are so many things that is in my life. You know, I got this problem, family life, my career, this, and then I don't have much talents and abilities. And so, you know, I can't really fulfill. I know that there's God wants me to do this, but I can't do it. There, God's word says, you need to complete it, and God will give you the ability and the strength to do it. And remember last Sunday, Reverend Edwin, they were sharing about the body life, one body, many parts. And he was saying that there were issues in the church that prevent the body from exercising all its function, fitting together. And he highlighted two problems. One is I don't belong. Because I'm not the eye, I'm not the ear, I don't belong. Are you one of those that says, I don't belong? I only come to church, but I don't belong to the church, you know. I don't really belong. Because I cannot do anything, you know. Let those who are talented go and do whatever. I am just nobody, so I don't belong. Or there's another issue, right, that was highlighted. I don't need that pew. Because I'm not the ear, I don't need the body, you know. And Paul says, if everybody were here, everybody were eye, everybody were whatever it is, what would the body be like? You'll be like a monster, right? It's incomplete. So whether if you are saying, I don't belong, or I don't need them, you don't say, you know, I come to church, nobody care for me. Anyway, I don't need the church. I don't need everybody, you know, I'll just be myself. You know, is that how it is? We say, as long as I have Jesus and me and Jesus is enough. It's a very individual Christianity. No, because God has placed us in the body and we are to be act out our part. There's an assignment, there's a part given to us. And unless we play our part, we have something to bring to bless another brother or sister. And if we do not play our part, then there's something missing. And if everybody will play their part, will contribute something, then the body works effectively and we have been ministered to. And that is part of the process of being saved. You know, our soul, our will, our intellect, our emotion still need to be transformed, right? And you cannot transform that by, you know, go to the mountain and meditate and become a guru. The Indians philosophy do that. But to our Indians, the body is the last thing they are interested. The soul is the last thing they are interested. They are only interested in the spirit. They want to make themselves completely nothing, to become a spirit person, to be part of the cosmic spirit. Then we can understand why they do that. They withdraw themselves. But for Christian, God says, you are saved and I want to send you back into the world. Because it's by being in the world that God continues to refine and save you, to save your soul, your intellect, your emotion. That must be changed. When you learn to live with others, you learn to manage your emotion. When you learn to live with others, you learn to care for people. That's your soul being transformed and saved. So if you withdraw, say, I don't need the church, I withdraw because I don't belong to the church. And how? You withdraw yourself. On Sunday, with the internet, you turn on you hear the great messages, and you pray by yourself, and you confess your sin by yourself to Jesus only. You think you will be saved? You think all your bad habits will be transformed? No. Confess your sin to one another. Why? I can confess my sin to God, but I do not like to confess my sin to my wife. And then I do not like to confess my sin to another brother. It's easy to confess your sin to God, but to confess your sin to a brother or sister is tough. To say sorry to another person is tough. But that's the soul part that needs to be transformed by God. So, we need to align ourselves to God's. What is God's task for us? Let us fulfill it. Our debt of love. Let God enable us. And so the next thing is refine. Next slide. We have to go to refine. Refine means you will, in this process, you will suffer. You will face trial, you will face difficulty. and bad things will happen in your life. And say, God, I'm serving God, I'm loving God, then how come all these bad things are happening in my life? These are the trials and temptation that comes to you. You're serving God faithfully, and suddenly the doctor diagnoses that you've got cancer. And you get very angry with God. Why? But these are ways of God to refine us, to purify our faith. You know, the persecuted church, the Christians in the Middle East that have been persecuted, that face death, they have been refined. They have been refined. God purifies their faith. And perhaps you are one of those that are privileged. I mean, as I say that, today I say this, right? Maybe tomorrow, God say, you see, the preacher, you preach this, then I want to see you go through it. Well, if sometimes God considers it a privilege to test you, to put you through trials and difficulties. You know, that's why James says, consider it all joy when you face trials and difficulties. What joy when you go through trials? Because God is privileging you. God has something prepared for you so that you have a higher calling that God wants to put you through. Remember, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, God of compassion, God of comfort, comforts you in all your troubles. Why? So that you can comfort others with the same comfort that you receive from God. So when you face trials and difficulties, where you feel the pain and say, God, why me? God privileges you. So that when you go through that pain and the difficulty with God's help, you see a new aspect of God, a deeper understanding of God. And with the same comfort you have received God, God prepares you to comfort others. You will receive God's love so that you can be a blessing to others. You will have a new ministry. If you went through cancer and you fight with cancer, then God wants to use you to comfort others who will go through the fight against cancer in the future. So every trial and test in your life is not meaningless. It is part of the refining word of God so that we can come out as a pure gold. Next one, empowerment. Next slide. Empowerment means, you know, we are to be empowered by God's word, we are empowered by God's spirit, and we are empowered by our walk of holiness. As we walk in holiness, in godliness, there's a power behind our determination to walk in holiness in God's way. So the power of God is seen as we allow God's word to go deep into our lives, as we allow the Holy Spirit to do His work of transformation, and as we cooperate with God to walk in holiness, in obedience to the word and the spirit. And what people see is the fragrance of Christ, the aroma of Christ in our lives. And then we become a blessing to others. We can touch others' people. People can see Christ revealed in us. So, A, assignment. So let us discover our assignment. And as a church, the leadership, you know, the day of prayer that we had last Saturday, the various congregation prayed, and our own English congregation also prayed. And one of the key tasks, the leaders are waiting on God to say that, and pray with the church also, about intentional discipleship process to be put in place so that all of us will walk as disciples of God, so that we will fulfill our assignment and our appointment by God. You know? And first thing about aligning ourselves is by prayer, not by doing many things, but by prayer. The church, as a church, we need to come in line with God's purpose and will for our church by aligning ourselves in prayer. The leaders need to do that. I need to do that with the leaders. For you, all of us individuals, we need to align ourselves by praying, seeking God. What is your assignment for me? Okay, the church, we are talking about intentional discipleship. We have to pray. We are talking about English worship services. You know, our choir, is one of what TA is. God has blessed TA with good choir, right? But, you know, are we getting more people into the choir? Are those serving, are finding a fresh vision and a fresh wind to continue to sing well for God? Or, Lord, I've been there, I've done that, I think my season is over. Let's align ourselves with God. What is the gift God has given to you that you need to contribute to this body life? As you contribute, you are being transformed by God. And next slide. This is a discipleship that process that we are talking about that we hope to concretize, to connect, to equip, to mentor, and then to release into ministry. Ministry where? In the homes, in the marketplace, in the church, right? So pray with the leaders. Keep the prayer, the leaders in prayer as we begin to pray and seek God to put in an intentional discipleship process in TA. Next slide. Then pray for a small group. That has to do with connectedness. Like I said, if you are individual Christian, do you think coming to church on Sunday and I pray regularly with Jesus, I read my Bible all by myself, is enough? There's something missing. Right? We must be part of the body life. God has given us the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that together we can shape each other to become more Christ-like. And then God and His kingdom is not just about the church, it is about the kingdom of God and His righteousness in our homes, in our office, in our friends, and our social circles. Let's begin by prayer to align ourselves to God's heartbeat. I think that's all I have for today. I hope I pray that this message will, as I shared, we will together continue to meditate on it and allow God to speak to us. So as a church, we will move in line with what God intends for our church and ourselves personally. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this truth, Father, that you saved us for a reason, for a purpose. And Lord, that we are your workmanship and that you are continuing to do the work of saving us, renewing us, transforming us. And that is done through your word, through your spirit, and through the body life of the church, so that we can become salt and light in the world, to bring and reveal Christ to the world. Father, help us. Help us to step walk by faith and to believe you. Help us to be willing to set aside our own agenda so that your agenda and your purpose and will may be fulfilled in us, in us individually, as well as in our church. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.